In Ohio and in Wisconsin and other states, Republican governors have been trying to roll back collective bargaining powers of public sector unions. And this comes at a time when organized labor is already struggling. Fewer and fewer American workers belong to unions. And striking, one of the chief tools of organized labor, has largely become a thing of the past. In the first of two reports on organized labor, NPR's Sonari Glinton reports on why strikes are now so rare.
Here's an interesting stat. In 1952, there were 470 work stoppages or strikes. In 2010, there were 11. If you want to understand part of why 470 turned into 11, you only need to sit down with Mark Sanders and his father, Lefty.
I've went by Lefty since I've been 10 years old.
Where'd you get that nickname from?
Pitching baseball.
Not because you're a union man.
No.
In the late 70s and early 80s, Lefty, or Larry Sanders, was head of the Ohio Association of Professional Firefighters. Now his son has the exact same job. Mark Sanders says union organizing now is a lot different than when his father was running things.
Really, we professionalized it, if you will, put it in a room like this with a table and really do the good work of professional negotiation sessions rather than a take it or leave it.
But if you ask Lefty how he and his son differ on the job, he'll pull out a piece of paper and tell you.
He had Canton 2 times, Youngstown 2 times, Marion, Mansfield, Findlay, Fostoria, Lorain. Mansfield and Lorain was the same time. Steubenville, Dayton, Toledo, Lima.
Those weren't just random Ohio cities. They're cities where Lefty Sanders oversaw firefighter strikes. As Sanders recalls, there were once as many as 10 strikes in 20 months. But the strike in Toledo is what Lefty Sanders calls the mother of all strikes.
You could look out over Toledo in the morning. It looked like Atlanta burning. And you saw them old Civil War pictures.
And it wasn't just firefighters who walked off the job.
In the morning when they went on strike, the bridge tenders left all 7 bridges up in the air in Toledo, walked out. The police drove about 200 cruisers downtown and parked them in disarray, left the lights and sirens on and threw the keys down the sewers. This is how frustrated people were. These are not children doing this.
Do you think that that strike or those strikes turned the public opinion against unions?
No.
Well, obviously, it was something that had alienated a lot of people.
That's Republican William Batchelder, Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives. Batchelder was in the House in the 70s during Ohio's labor turmoil. He says the damage was obvious.
Because they looked to the people who were in the safety forces to do, I mean, those are life-saving duties. They're some of our most important public employees in terms of their importance to the average citizen.
David Stebbin is a professor of history and law at Ohio State University. Stebbin says the Toledo strike and the mini strikes across the country in the 70s damaged the image of unions.
The closer it gets towards a public employee who on a daily basis does something that saves lives, the more resistant the public is to striking. They may be sympathetic to other forms of labor activity, but simply walking off the job and those is not generally viewed as acceptable.
Stebbin says union workers initially won the battles of the late 70s and 80s, but increased foreign competition and other economic factors led to more anti-union sentiment.
And so if you go on strike, it's a much more perilous thing to do. You might actually lose, and your union might be destroyed in the process. And so labor, as it gets weaker, becomes ever more cautious.
Lefty Sanders, though, remains unapologetic.
I'm not making this up. When he got this job, I said, I hope you never have to do and work in the same situation as we did. Unfortunately, it may be coming to pass.
Sanders thinks part of the reason America's labor movement is in a predicament is because union leaders, like his son, have become just too cautious. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
And tomorrow we hear from a former striker about his early days at a GM foundry in Flint, Michigan.
If that molten iron gets spilled or they fall down from the heat or something, they never find them. It's impossible. 2,200 degrees, you would vanish in a moment.
More of that story tomorrow.